Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine, April 20th, 2021. Wow, lots of unbelievably good questions. And I'm going to encourage you to follow along on the script because I'm not going to repeat the questions. There's a lot of serious good ones, and you'll get the benefit in the script. So remember, all questions that come in by the end of the day Monday are rolled into that Ask Catherine for the week. So if your questions were not answered, we'll roll them into the next one. There's no Ask Catherine in the last week of the month, so it'll be in the first week of May if it's not in the today. If your question was not picked up and it did get in by Monday, please let us know and we'll make sure it gets in the next one. Okay, we start off with two sort of special categories. One was the cutest video that two kids, 14 and 12, did for Mother's Day. That's adorable. We're gonna post that News Trends and Stories, and we're gonna make a donation too. That's great. Anyway, good work. And then somebody likes my laugh, and I'm sorry. The you know, sometimes I do tend to laugh at the devil, but I don't know. It's what Mel Brooks says: we laugh so as not to cry. Cash and precious metals. I have recently learned that the dollar has fallen below 60%. The dollar market share of reserve currencies has fallen below 60%. And you say, I've heard you mention that before. What does that mean for a middle-class engineer with a wife and child who rents? It means inflation. Inflation of essential goods, inflation of food prices, and possibly homes, if you're looking to buy a home. Although I suspect home prices are very much being driven up in the G7 nations by institutional buying, particularly in the United States. Someone from CalPERS sent in a mailing from CalPERS. They're a subscriber who's a CalPERS beneficiary. And CalPERS was letting them know about a fraud done by a 25-year employee. And it's remarkable that they would tell you about this fraud and not the fraud that involved billions. It's quite extraordinary, but I think they're just letting you know about a fraud that they can tell you about, not the frauds they can't tell you about. Hi, Catherine. Where can I read about the central banking warfare model? This is a very good question, and I thought long and hard about it. If I were you, I would start with Michel Chadadovsky's books on war. He's got one on the globalization of poverty, which is very good. I would absolutely watch Sir James Goldsmith's video on globalization. It's a video of an interview he did with Charlie Rose in 1994. So I'd watch that. I'd read four or five of Michel's books, and then I would dive into Dr. Farrell's books. I'd just go through them all. And you might want to read several books about World War II, including Trading with the Enemies, I think is very helpful, by Charles Higham. And it's not a bad idea to read Solzhenitsyn's book, 200 Years Together, about the Bolshevik Revolution. And Anthony Sutton's work, and Eustace Mullen's books. So I would dive in there. But we also have a piece on I would look at some of the books on central banking that I list out in the State of Our Currencies. Anyway, start with Michel's book and then work back into Farrell's, and I think those will be very helpful. Catherine, you've opened my eyes to a whole new world. I have to admit most of it is over my head, but I'm listening to everything I can educate myself to. Then you say you have a large portfolio and want to begin to diversify. So I think it's simply a matter of having assets in different jurisdictions, and you have to pick jurisdictions that you're most comfortable with. There are many different selections. I mentioned Switzerland because that's one that I'm comfortable with and I just know people. I can't give investment advice on the Slurry Report, so I can't recommend a manager. What I can tell you is if you go to the SEC website and look at investment advisors, you can find out who is an SEC registered from Switzerland and simply review their ADV brochures. And it's not a huge amount. I would take a look at the ones that are independent of the large financial institutions and find somebody who's very qualified and experienced. They all generally or usually have websites. Anyway, try the SEC website and just do a search for all the ones in the investment advisor brochures that are Swiss-based. Hi, Catherine. Saw this stock mentioned in YouTube and saw the story on CNBC. Thought you would find it interesting, breathtaking. I thought I had to be missing something, but looking at Edgar, it appears not. This is unbelievable. This is a deli in New Jersey that had 35,000 a year in sales before the pandemic shutdown, and its stock is valued at $100 million. I looked it up on the internet, and it appears you're right. I'm going to talk with Titus today about the valuation of Toyota versus Tesla, which is a similar case. But there's no doubt that when the Fed starts pumping trains of money, dollars into the markets, this is what happens. Hi, Catherine. The central preoccupation of my life of late is figuring out what is really going on in the world while trying to educate my husband and young adult sons about what I'm learning without sounding like a madwoman. Two of my sons have been interested in Bitcoin in particular and the idea of cryptocurrency in general as a means to limit the Fed's power in their lives. I remember you said the powers that can be can turn off crypto anytime they want, but my sons are buying the hype that this is really a way to assert some power over their financial life and that info critical of crypto is propaganda from the powers threatened by crypto's rise. I don't understand any of it. Could you please explain by what mechanisms process the crypto simply gets shut off by Mr. Global? The digital rather than concrete nature of the currency is enough to put my husband and I off of it. Lost electrical power from the grid going down for an extended period, lost passwords, so many pitfalls. My boys will take more convincing, however, so appreciate whatever insights you can provide. My guess from listening to what you're saying is that they're ingesting a huge amount of online entrainment. So I've met and dealt with folks who have the massive Bitcoin will make us free entrainment program, and it really is mind control. So I think the first thing I would do is I wouldn't worry about educating them about Bitcoin. I'd worry about educating them about entrainment technology and protecting themselves against it. My biggest fear is not what's going to happen to them with Bitcoin. My biggest fear is what's going to happen to them with porn. Because it's pretty easy to get a control file on somebody using porn. And I talk about that this week with Corey Lynn in our discussion of technology. So I would definitely explore the links in the mind control. There's a commentary called Mind Control Tactics Used on Children and Young People. And it's also got a section on tactics used on everybody. And I would really digest those links and make sure that your family knows how to protect their mind online. That said, Mr. Global controls every aspect of the operations of an all-digital currency, from the systems to the satellites to the surveillance the intelligence agencies can do. Even if you believe the blockchain is secure, and I don't, but if you do, then there's the trading from your desktop to wherever you get the resources to put the money into the exchange, and then the exchange, the blockchain, et cetera. So there are many different points in the process where the privacy can be interrupted or compromised. But then you have laws, you have regulation, you have enforcement, and you have the capital that's being used to pump and dump all this stuff. So if you look at all the legal and enforcement and financial mechanisms that Mr. Global can do to change the value of something and drive it way up or way down, I continue to believe that the pump is far from over. So what you want to do with your kids is if they are going to play around in this stuff, you want to make sure if they're trading in a way that creates a taxable liability on their part, that they're setting aside the money in the reserve, in the currency that they have to pay the taxes in, so that they don't get put over a barrel with the trading vis-a-vis their tax liability. And you want to make sure that they are being disciplined about skimming some of their profits and putting it away for the concrete things they need. You know, young people need cars, they need places to live, they need funds for education, for a variety of things. Make sure, you know, if they do well trading this stuff, that they take advantage of diversifying some of those profits. Anyway, so teach them how to be smart about playing a speculation, because this is a speculation, and then teach them to be smart about entrainment on any topic, particularly topics related to money or health. Hello, Catherine. First of all, I'd like to say how much my husband and I appreciate you and all the information you provide. We are fairly new and have learned so much. First question, we heard you mention in your conversation that you're thinking of returning the stimulus check. Yes, I returned all of it. What are the main reasons for doing so? I don't know what conditions they might put in the future retroactively on taking this money, but because of what I do, I want to be very free to not worry about it. So for me, this is simply a matter of I don't want to worry about it, and I have conflicts of interest that many other people don't have. I do feel if you look at what the government is taking from people, that for, as an ethical matter, I have no ethical problems from you taking as much money as you possibly can claw out of government, given what the government is doing to every one of its citizens in America. Anyway, but I don't want to be subject to any of the potential conditions, and I never know what clever trick they're gonna put on the terms and conditions of something without our knowledge. Then you have a question about diamonds. I love anything that's real that I can put in my pocket and walk away. So in theory, I love the idea of valuable gems, but I know absolutely nothing about them. I mean, absolutely nothing about them. And I have friends who've been gem dealers. They're now retired. And one of the things I know, you have to be an expert. So my recommendation is to find somebody who's a lot more knowledgeable about it than me. And then you recommend a link on preaching about the Book of Revelation. I really appreciate that. I will check it out. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the wealth of information on Solari. We've only been subscribers for 5 months, and it seems we're drinking from a fire hose with all the information. Not complaining one bit. Just wish we'd been subscribers many years ago. Better late than never. We came across this today. Okay, this is a post from Zero Hedge about stunning divergence, latest bank data reveals something terminally broken in the financial system. So it's the divergence between loans and deposits. What I would recommend, if you haven't watched John Titus's videos on the Federal Reserve, I would watch the last four, and particularly building up to the last one. And then after you've watched those, then tell me what your questions are. But I think you want to get a real background in sort of what the Fed is doing now and what they're up to. And I think that will help tremendously. And then you will see sort of the challenge the banks have because their traditional business is really, to say it's going away is an understatement. Dear Catherine, okay, then there's a very long post of a report that Dr. Lacey Hunt did from an interview on Macro Voices. Hunt is a very, very good economist, and you have several questions, but I would say this, because I look at this totally differently. Hunt is looking at this as an economist who's trained in traditional Fed, sort of Fed watch within a traditional economy. So we're in the Bretton Woods system. People enjoy property rights and privacy. There's a certain flow and framework in an economy that has within it, in the United States, a certain amount of manufacturing and productive capital. We've now gone through 20 plus years of a financial coup. We're in a totally different economy that's being defined by invisible technology. And so when I hear Hunt, he's not looking at the power shifting that's resulting from the digital systems, from the hollowing out of the U.S. economy in terms of manufacturing and sort of fundamental productivity. And he hasn't shifted his framework for the fact that you have a group of people engineering a financial coup using the invisible technology and systems to move us to a technocracy. And we're talking about a serious coup d'etat here. If not, you know, given the latest information, biological warfare. So he's just in a different framework than me. And I can't relate to what he's saying the risks are, other than I think we're in for, I mean, we're obviously experiencing significant inflation, and I think that's going to continue unless we get a nuclear war or some kind of serious war. Anyway, my suggestion is if you haven't read State of Our Currencies and Going Direct Reset, I would do that. But I think our situation is far more dire than Hunt thinks. We're going from, if they get the vaccine passports, we're going from a human civilization to slavery. I mean, you got a group of people who are trying to, the central bankers are trying to put a chip in us that makes us easier to mind control and remote control. So I don't mean to be a downer, but I think I'm just in a completely different framework than Hunt, although I have great respect for him. I think he's very smart and very capable. Hi, Catherine. Watch your interview with Greg, USA Watchdog. In the comment section, one person remarked on the potential liability for those who are actually dispensing vaccines and not giving the full informed consent. Yes, I believe they're liable. And we just did an interview with Jerry Day, who has done a lot of work with liability issues and holding people responsible and figuring out how to use notice of liability. And I would encourage you to listen to that interview. And his website, Freedom Taker, is very good. It's got some great examples. We're also going to publish this week a notice of liability that people in Europe have been sending to their parliamentarians. And it's very important you ask, would Jerry Day be a good person to conspire with? I think yes. I have a lot of respect for his abilities. But Jerry will tell you this, and I will tell you this. It's unbelievably important to read these different forms of liability or notice of liability, like the ones that Jerry provides on his website. And then you have to take responsibility to tailor it to your own specific situation and not depend on anybody else. You have to only do what you understand and feel comfortable with. So this is about one person in a very intimate way holding another person accountable. And you can only do that if you're taking that level of individual responsibility and communicating what you believe to be authentically the right way to allocate risk and liability. So anyway, I think some of Jerry's recommendations are great places to start and get an education on what's possible here. Catherine, I find the use of the word face diapers deeply offensive. If I find it offensive, how can you even hope to have people who believe in them engage in dialogue? Ultimately, we are all on the same side. They have been sold a bill of goods which played on the best of humanity. Protect your family and community. Whenever someone says this or that politically, I tell them I don't want to hear it. My fight is with the 1%, and I'm not going to turn against anyone in the 99%. I saw a good video about the pandemic and vaccine. I wanted to send it to my family as I was trying to stop them from taking a vaccine. In the video, the speaker used the phrase face diaper, so I never sent a link to the video. I'm assuming you're referring to the interview I did with Greg Hunter, because I think I used the expression there. Here's the thing. I think it's so important not to denigrate other people. And by using the term face diapers, I was denigrating masks, but I wasn't denigrating the people who wear them. We're certainly not intending to do so, but I agree with you. I think it's very, very important to not denigrate each other, even where we disagree. Although I think it's even more important to maintain your sense of amusement. And so sometimes I will roll my eyes and do things, but I always try to be gracious about it. I do think there are people who are channeling evil, which includes some of the people in the 1%, and I can be very critical of them, clearly. I do get your point about it diminishes the utility of the video for the purpose you wanted to send it, and I think that's a very valid point, and I'm going to remember that, because I want you to be able to use those videos to get somebody to go use the family financial disclosure form and access the information they need to truly make an informed consent or to truly have informed consent. I think in terms of utility, I'm going to think of using masks instead of face diapers again, but I cannot promise you, you're not going to hear me say face diapers on the Salieri Report, because I have to stay in a state of amusement about it. Speaking of masks, though, I just put a new video up We've all seen many, many videos over the internet suggesting that there are some kinds of worms or biosynthetic nanoworms in the face masks. And as it, you know, this is clearly sort of biowarfare intentional. And I've never known what to make of them because they're fairly grassroots. And a doctor who had seen them decided in the UK to get a really high-powered microscope and take a serious look. And she's done several interviews, and I put them up. I put one of them up this week. And right after that, we had some mysterious interference on the website, so it was kind of interesting that that happened. I strongly recommend you watch it. I don't know, you know, what her conclusion was. It's time for us to do some serious research on what are in these masks. We're looking at something that's potentially very dangerous, and we need to be cognizant that the sort of medical procedures, whether the swabs and the tests or the masks and the, you know, handed out, the surgical masks handed out, may not be safe. To all, please feel free to use in any communications you want. I've been working with, okay, so somebody sent a letter that they wrote to their local health officer in the state of Washington. I think it's the state officer. Just a great letter. And I would encourage everybody to, you put some other materials that we posted at the on the website so you can link to them. But anyway, this is a great example of pushback at the state and local level. And I can't recommend these kinds of letters enough, and I really appreciate your sending, so we'll put them in the show notes. Then somebody sent a link to an excellent article, 18 Reasons I Won't Be Getting a COVID Vaccine, which I'd put as a link under the commentary, the 31 Reasons I Won't Be Taking a Vaccine that our Hero of the Week wrote, used last week, or maybe he's Hero of the Week this week. Anyway, it is an excellent article, and I think it's one that that does help when you're trying to persuade someone that they need to really do due diligence about the risks involved. The risks that we're seeing in these injections are off the charts. And it's interesting because, you know, Will, I just watched a video of a doctor in Canada, and he's had 3 disabilities and 1 death just in his practice giving the Moderna vaccination. I talked to somebody yesterday who lives in a fairly wealthy area outside in the Bay Area, and knew lots of people who've gotten injections and hasn't heard of one adverse event in that group. So, you know, sometimes I even wonder if they aren't sending different batches to different places. So, you know, if you're in a high income group zip code, you get a different batch than if you're in a low income group. You never know. It could just be, you know, people in high income groups have much stronger immune systems because of diet and healthcare and plenty of time to sleep. Hi, Catherine. Something very interesting just happened in Ontario, Canada, that reminds me of something Farrell said. Mr. Global will get caught in his own narrative. On Friday, April 16th, the provincial government released new guidelines that included the following. Police can perform random spot checks of persons in vehicles and pedestrians to question why they're out of their house, closure of playgrounds, etc. And it turns out there was a lot of pushback. Several police, major police departments province-wide, who claimed that they had not even been informed and will not enforce it. The government has been forced to partially backtrack on the new orders. Things are heating up here. Everywhere you look, people are beginning to realize the science doesn't support many of the different policies. And I think, you know, the tensions are very much growing. I just saw, we'll talk about it with John Titus this week, a survey that estimated 60% of Black businesses will be shut down by the end of April. Can you imagine? 60% of African-American-owned businesses in America will be shut down. So much for BLM. Catherine, and to Joseph Farrell, breaking, you need to know this. Tim Keller, pastor and site, recommends getting the jab as part of the BioLogos with Francis Collins at NIH. Listen to Sherry Penny on this. So I put a link. I'm going to send this into News Trends and Stories. This is really frightening. Tim Keller is recommending the Mark of the Beast. That's extraordinary when you think about that. You know, every once in a while, you'll see these people who are so great at an intimate level make the, you know, just fall completely into the, you know, off the cliff when it comes to the big picture. You know, just totally clueless about the big picture. It's frightening. Keller was had announced in June 2020 that he had just received a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. He wrote an article recently in Atlantic about facing death. I just think he's, you know, I can't explain it because this is a very capable man. But, you know, I've seen it many times. You see preachers who don't understand the big picture and have clearly completely fallen for the mind control of the propaganda. And it's frightening because if they fall for the propaganda on that issue, what other issues have they fallen for the propaganda? So if somebody falls into this, the trap of not really making an informed decision, there's no way I believe that Tim Keller has done proper due diligence on this. And can be in a position to recommend this if he has done proper due diligence. And so that's what's so frightening, that somebody like him would recommend this to other people without doing proper due diligence. It's kind of amazing. Anyway, feedback. Then there's a wonderful post from somebody in Canada. So this is absolutely how you play a speculative market. The markets in read the markets and stimulus checks from the government, took the $4,000 the government gave me, put it in Bitcoin in March, April, 2020. It's grown about tenfold. I cashed out the Bitcoin, paid back the government, and bought silver. Okay, you're my hero. I still have positions in crypto, and at first, though you were wrong in your viewpoint that Mr. Global was behind this, that point of view has changed, and I can see what they are doing. Good. Okay, great. I'm invested in cryptos, but traded in and out, which I know will have tax implications. Great. Just make sure you're managing those. Still, this, I've been able to safe harbor capital, as I think very soon Bitcoin will dump, then go for another round of pump and dump. Yeah, I don't think the pump and dumps are over at all. I can see the algorithms working, pumping and dumping in the background. Some indicators show the holders going through. I'm expecting, anyway, more about the market. Side note, plywood has got up to over 115 a sheet from 25 just a year ago. The reports I get from this construction industry, the inflation is unbelievable. Anyway, it sounds to me like you understand what's going on. I will say this, I don't have a dollar to go into Bitcoin. If you put a dollar in one thing, the opportunity cost is you can't do a dollar in another. And I'm a people investor, and there are always more people I want to invest in more than I want to invest in pump and dumps. So, but anyway, it's a individual choice. Catherine, could you provide some advice on how to protect land rights? We recently purchased a tract of land, I think it's Mississippi, as an investment inflation hedge and potential bug out property. Historically, the land was used for agriculture, but is presently 99% forested. I'm curious on recommendations on how to reduce the risk. Okay, so several things to consider. Consider obtaining an owner's policy of title insurance to ensure the title to the property against competitive claims. I'm figuring you probably did that when you bought it. Make sure you have a good local attorney familiar with asset protection strategies who can advise you on the best way to hold the entity. Do you want to hold it personally or in an LLC or an irrevocable trust? So it's important to, you know, states have different laws. So I don't know the jurisdiction you live in or the, obviously we know the jurisdiction of the state, but you want to make sure that your creditors and the property's creditors are separate if you can keep them going that way. And then, of course, you want to have insurance so that if there are any liabilities related to the property, you're protected by your insurance options. And I would, and that includes loss against forest fire, et cetera, especially if you're planning on selling the timber, which you probably are if it's Mississippi. So one, make sure you have good title insurance. Two, make sure you've got your holding in the proper kind of legal mechanism. And then make sure you've reviewed all the insurance options and you've taken care of that aspect. There's an expense to the insurance, which may offset if you have leasing options are hunting. Sometimes the people I know who have this kind of investment will lease it out for hunting. And again, that's going to be an insurance option. Or you're selling the timber. Whichever way you're generating cash flow from the property, make sure you consider that when you go through all the insurance options. The other thing is, I would make sure you know your local sheriff and your local legislators if you can, if you're spending any time there. So I would get to know the sort of local players. And the key thing is to have a local attorney who you've used and know and can go to and will represent you if there are any problems. And I find that helps tremendously. Okay. Hello, Catherine. I'm blessed to have stumbled upon this lawyer report after watching your interview with a fellow Canadian, Rocco Galati. I immediately became a subscriber and my brain has been soaking up the information. We have a saying in our house, you cannot control the waves, but you can learn to surf. And then there's a question about the QRS. My question is to ask you, please explain what the benefits of the machine are to our human body. I discuss it with Adam Trombley in the Entrainment Solari Report, so I would listen to that. I've read the books that have been made or come with it, and I'm just not the person to explain that. The distributor that I have, the first one was a gift that I got. The second one I bought from a distributor, and I can't swear that it's a person of high integrity. They're just a person I interacted with on the phone. And if you go to Solari Report in the library and you put QRS and you can find the information, it's a German company that makes it. And you can find the information about it online. My introduction to it really came through Adam and his wife, and I spent a lot of time with them getting briefed on how it worked. But I'm not the person to explain that. You need a scientist. Anyway, so it really came from a couple years of personal use that it sort of evolved out of that. But maybe if you check the check online and see what the company offers in terms of books and documentation and other materials. Hello, Catherine. My name is RW and I'm 22 years old and I've questioned the inner workings of the world for as long as I can remember. I have subscribed to the Solari Report for a week now and I absolutely love your content. Let's see. So the question is, on Q, you mentioned you believe it's a psychological operation and one that's being surveilled and potentially used by the government to fuel the mafia war. I wanted to ask if you would reconsider your opinion presented on the wrap-up and look at the parallels for your discussion of Dr. Farrell. What you're saying is you think that Q encourages people to look at the covert side of life. And that's true. If you look at our official reality, think of this as Disney World. There's the world upstairs, and then there's the world underneath the ground where everybody's manipulating and managing and creating the world upstairs. So we'll call the upstairs the official reality and downstairs covert reality. And Q encourages people to look at the world from the side of the operators on the covert side. And that is true, but I think there's any good science fiction movie can do that too. And I think Q is incredibly misleading. And the most misleading thing about it is to say, trust the plan. You know, there's a bunch of covert operators behind the scenes, they have a plan, and you can trust the plan. That, in my opinion, is total BS and hope porn. I think there are many, many more accurate sources that can help educate you about the covert side. And that's what I would do. I would find them as opposed to, especially because this is a source that can be mixed with entrainment. And I think the sort of Q marketing was integrated with heavy, heavy entrainment. Then a great post from a subscriber who's a psychiatrist who, during my training, a psychiatrist who trained me had two patients who were sisters, both of whom had been abducted by aliens, and she reports their experience. And that's in the notes. It's very interesting. I should mention that Richard Dolan, I wrote a book review last year of Richard Dolan's new book, and I would recommend it to you It was last year or early this year. And he has come out and said he believes aliens exist and live among us. And he makes a very educated presentation. I still have many more questions than answers, because I've never met an abduction story I couldn't explain by mind control. But if you look at all the hardware flying around the planet, there's definitely some very, we have more than a few civilizations interacting on this planet. And the question is, what's really going on? Anyway, but check out Richard Dolan's, if you're interested, check out Richard Dolan's new book. Hello, Catherine. I listened to your interview with David. That's David O'Hagan. You mentioned experimentation with children, teens, where they place thoughts through technology into their minds. Please direct me to an article or source for more information. If you go to the commentary, Mind Control Tactics Used on Children and Young People, I strongly recommend that you go through not just the links under the children part, but target tactics used on everyone. One of the best books to start with is Secret Don't Tell by Carla Emery. But I would also, if you're interested in this aspect, I would also read Gloria Naylor's book, 1996. And then I would absolutely go through all of Mark Rich's books. In the links under the Targeted Everyone section, there's a link to my review of all three of his books. And then Dr. Hall's books are very useful. All the information related to targeted individuals is good. But I would just explore all those links and watch The Minds of Men by TrueStream. Anyway, explore and dive into all those links. We also have a Salieri report with John Rappaport on pedophilia. And that gets into kids being used by the intelligence agencies for operations. And that involves mind control. So I would use that as well. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber and love the information you provided. It's given me much food for thought. I read a lot of international news hoping to find the truth. This is the best theory as to why Ever Given was grounded. So this is the Evergreen story, and they put the link in. There are lots of sort of explanations of what's going on. One subscriber made a wonderful post in subscriber input about fairy tales that I absolutely loved. And so I asked her permission to include it, and she sent it into Ask Catherine. So you can find it here. Another person sent a link on the New York Plum Island level 4 bio research facility moving to Manhattan, Kansas as a partnership between DHS and Ag. This is frightening. So frightening, because if you look at what's going on in biowarfare and then how it relates to food, it's all very, very frightening. More on that later. Dear Catherine, I'm one of your subscribers. This is a person who was asking for the information from the Japan Red Cross. They refused to accept donations from people who had the COVID-19 injections. We put a commentary up with both the Japanese and the English translation in the link, and I sent it to you. Hello, Catherine. Sending you black humor. This is amazing. Somebody sent us a copy of the green passport that their mother had in 1943 in Germany and Austria. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, nothing ever changes. It's quite amazing. We really are dealing with the Fourth Reich. The pictures in the notes. I can't thank you enough. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm going to make sure this gets to a variety of different people, so I'll circulate it. Someone in Pound Ridge got a chipper email marketing the injections from their town supervisor, and they wanted to write a letter back. So I sent you, because time was of the essence, I sent you some notes and suggestions directly, but I put the letter in. Then somebody wants to know, is CDC a federal agency or a private agency? It's a government agency operating within the Department of Health and Human Services. I would say, in my opinion, it reports directly to the owners of the Federal Reserve, their intelligence agencies. And of course, it collects lots of fees on patents and, you know, between money on patents and pharma fees. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is deeply compromised. But in this case, I think they're reporting directly to the owners of the Federal Reserve, although they may not see that or understand that anyway. And I just think the corruption is off the charts. Hi, Catherine. I know you're okay. So this is a recommendation on Dr. Dave Martin. So we have two more interviews scheduled that get into the COVID-19 situation. One is Dr. Tenpenny. I'm going to interview her in March. And then Jay Dyer is coming on to give a report on sort of the philosophic history. And I think that's very important. Martin brings up some good legal issues, so sometimes I'll scan his work, but I don't have him on the list yet. And I'm not sure how many more COVID-19 ones we're going to do in the next 3 months. Our big thing is for the second quarter wrap-up, we're focused on central bank digital currencies. Okay, now going direct reset. Dear Catherine, in the state of the currencies, you ask, how do you persuade people to agree to install an unnatural operating system in their body, in the bodies of their children? You then answer the question by stating in part, then you say, in a number of your recent interviews, I've noticed that you are abroad. Germany and the Netherlands come to mind, yet correct me if I'm wrong. These tests are mandatory when traveling through Europe and when returning to the U.S., are they not? How have you managed to avoid them? So one of the reasons I haven't flown back to the United States is to avoid them. Otherwise, I would have been back and forth, and it was avoiding the test that was one of the reasons I did not go back and forth after October. I had needed to be here till October. How does anyone travel abroad and manage to avoid them? So all the travel I've done here is between the Netherlands, Germany, and Switzerland, and I did it by driving, and so tests were not necessary. To the extent that they'll be necessary the next time I do a trip, there are saliva tests now available, so that's my plan. So I would definitely check out saliva tests, and I learned long ago the benefits of traveling by driving. It looks like it takes a lot longer, but in many respects, it's much easier. Dear Catherine, I realize that in my first email to you, I was not specific enough in conveying my concern about the COVID tests. And you describe a great deal of concern about the COVID tests. I agree with you, and you should watch that video I just put up, Face Mask, Unanswered Questions About Undisclosed Ingredients. I'm very concerned about this, but I think we need a lot more researchers doing a lot more analysis to figure out what's going on. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where increasingly the products that we depend on are not trustworthy. And it's a real problem, especially when you have to order a lot of stuff online and you can't necessarily trust what's coming in. Hi, Catherine. I read your state of the currency and just finished the latest video from John Titus. Really incredible. If you haven't watched John Titus's videos, I strongly recommend them. And some other things you can continue. How corrupt is the U.S. government? The U.S. government is deeply dependent on organized crime and warfare. Those are our primary businesses, and the general population is deeply dependent on them. So if you haven't listened to my red button story, I would do so. I recommend you read my online book, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. It will help you understand that that's the model. A great book to understand sort of the U.S. dependency on organized crime is Michael Woody Wuss's book, American Power and Organized Crime, or Organized Crime and American Power. It's Michael Woody Wuss. He's a professor in the UK. He's done some great work on sort of the organized crime model globally. I just read a new report that estimated that the GDP of organized crime globally was 7%. It's like, no, it's much bigger than that. Anyway, but we have a serious financial dependency on it, and it's being used along with digital technology to assert central control. And the people who run the planet have gone through periods of significant investment in slavery. And I think it didn't work the last time, and this time with digital technology, they've solved the problems they had with their last effort in slavery. And they're, in my opinion, they're moving back towards using slavery. Dear Ms. Fitz, I'm a subscriber of the Salary Report and have been following your work for many years. I'm also a professional member of Dr. Buttar's Tap Into Reality Initiative, and you sent me links about it. I had tried to sign up for one of the webinars, but I'm afraid I missed it. So I think I've missed both of them. If they have another one, let me know, because I am interested. Hi, Catherine. Just saw this report on the internet about DARPA awarding an expedited contract for the manufacture of protective body suits for Ebola. and you describe a presentation you saw at the Harvard School of Public Health, the presenter about Ebola saying that you're just one mutation away from human transmission, airborne transmission. If you look at some of the studies of gain-of-function work, it sounds to me like, and I'm reading into it, that they're implying the gain-of-function is going to make Ebola transmissible. It seems that the COVID injection has hit all kinds of obstructive snags and is losing traction fast. What's a globalist to do? I worry that they have in mind to reduce the population by, say, 70% are being forced to double down on their bet by rolling out Pandemic 2.0. God help us if they plan on playing with Ebola. The population could be cut down by 90% and nothing would protect them or us. I would love to see the RFP associated with the DARPA contract, especially as regards the date it was posted. Yes, this is one in the script you might want to read carefully. I think that, I don't know if the goal is to simply, get materials into our body, nanoparticles or biosynthetic materials into our body that will allow us to more easily be mind control and sort of cut off from spiritual access, as well as make it easier to do a variety of things with a sort of remote control. So I don't know if this is just a chip or if there's a plan underway to depopulate. It clearly looks in the nursing homes and with the elderly that there is a depopulation of some kind of culling going on. So we're facing something that is deeply gruesome. It's a war. But I don't know how much of this is the central bankers in a rush to get everybody chipped and hooked up to a centrally controlled financial transaction system, and how much of this is depopulation. We saw Mike Yaden come out and take a position that this was depopulation, and I don't know that that's not true. I just, I think it's the intentions here are still not clear. Catherine, on April 19th, the Treasury Department announced a coordinated climate policy strategy to bring to bear the full force of the Treasury Department on domestic and international policymaking. I appreciate this. There's a lot going on in terms of applying climate change to the control and sort of manipulation of real estate and land and energy, and I need to dive into more on that. Our next priority is the central bank digital currencies, but right behind that is how to use climate change to affect central control, including of land and real estate, because there's clearly a game going on. No questions under health, under local gatherings. You're interested in subscribers in the Memphis area. We definitely have some great subscribers in the Memphis area. So Darlene at Customer Service is going to be back to you on that. Someone had a question on why I hadn't recommended George Lucas's film THX-1138 with Robert Duvall. I love Duvall. Interestingly enough, every time I watch the preview for that, it's so gruesome. I've never watched it in full. Anyway, then you tell a story about church service. I just think, I can't believe the capitulation of the churches. It's beyond. But it shows you the power of the mind control. It's unbelievable. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for your work. I very much enjoyed the prayer book. I came across this ebook today and wanted to send you this. This one is from Global Research, which I think is a terrific website. And this looks really good. So I'll check it out. Take a look. And the links are here. It's all over here under God, love. And you're talking about a blueprint for a positive system. So the link's in here and I will check it out. And I thank you for sending that. Hello, Catherine. If you're not aware of Dr. Pidgeon, publisher of the Sefer Bible, has weekly discussions with Jessica on current events, provides a critical lens viewing. Looks interesting. Okay. Dr. Pidgeon, the Sefer Bible. Hi, Catherine. Excellent article about how our society has devolved into an oligarchy. That one looks good. It's from the Burning Platform, which I like very much. Somebody sent in the links to the lyrics to Mick Jagger's new song about vaccination. And you think, what's the message here? And I have to say, I honestly don't know what the message is, but, under the theory that the establishment has to tell us what they're doing, You know, this is kind of like a steam valve. They're telling you what they're doing. Then there's a Jeffrey Prather's rant on Proton Mail, which is one of the major criticisms of Proton Mail. We've received more than one. You know, I have no idea if Prather's a reliable source or not, and I have no idea whether this is true or not, other than I don't trust any digital systems to be secure, and you shouldn't either. So I do think that Proton Mail is a significant improvement over Gmail or AT&T or some of the others. Hi, Catherine. Two doctors in Alberta speak up against the lockdown. And that link is in the notes. There's a flash mob. Someone sent a flash mob dance in France that is fabulous. So I sent it, and we're going to use it for music of the week one of these weeks. Then somebody had a just listened to the talk with David O'Hagan and felt to inform you about a high-quality source of information. It's E. Asha Ashanya, E. Asha Ashanayana. I'll check it out. I don't know anything about it, but I'll check it out. My husband stumbled on this maybe 5 to 10 years ago when researching Bible verses. It is the unchanging word of God. Why a new edition every 6 months? If it is the unchanging word of God, why a new edition every 6 months? The reason it popped up was because one thing was the need to change words in the Bible gradually, and most people would not see how doctrine got changed. Once COVID happened, I revisited it and it seems all is coming to fruition. Wow, isn't that interesting? So you're right. The way they've been trying to dilute the scripture is phenomenal. They just keep playing with the words and changing the words. Hi, Catherine and Solari members. I'm not sure if you've seen or shared this in Solari. David Whitehead, Truth Warrior, had a discussion with two other colleagues, and the topic was primarily about what they call Star of the Beast, similar to the Coming Clean idea. Basically, they realized the need to be able to purchase goods from businesses with integrity and believe in real choice and liberty. Yeah, so this is exactly what we have to do. And I think the more people jumping on this and exploring it, figuring it out, the better, because then we can all create businesses providing real alternatives. Then somebody sent me a series that the Bach is posted at the Bach Society. And you say, if you like Bach, you will love Rudolf Lutz. In a small church near Zurich, he's been doing the whole series of the Bach cantatas. Oh, this is so beautiful. I put this in our music stack. I just absolutely love this. Anyway, and you say, thanks to your recommendation, I have a wonderful food and flower garden and water collection. I have the complete cantatas, in part thanks to Dr. Farrell back in Hickory Valley. But I was missing them. I had some downloaded on my iPod, but not the entire cantata. So now I just finished downloading all of them. And I love them. But I love this version. It's beautiful. The following links offer some great resources, such as frequently asked questions about mandates for masks, COVID-19 tests, etc., as well as letters to provide an employer, school, or other entity regarding federal law. Yeah, this is from healthfreedomdefense.org. Resources. This looks really good. Thank you for that. Then someone sent an article about the history of the Dutch people. This looks really good. So we put it up on the website so we could put it in the notes. And then, the Canadian National Railroad has sparked a bidding war with Kansas City Southern. This is very, very interesting. And this is a very important transaction. I'm going to be curious to see what happens. Part of this is the integration all the way from Canada down to Mexico. Kansas City Southern has an important linkage down into Mexico. Anyway, that's the questions for this week. Thank you so much for your questions. And again, no Ask Catherine next week. All the questions we get after the April 19th, the Monday night, will roll into the first week in May. So I look forward to speaking to you and Ask Catherine in the first week of May. Have a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen.